Welcome back to Bon Divide Bravo. I am your host, Amy, joined with my lovely co-host, Jenna. How are you, Jenna?
We're hanging in there. How about you?
We're hanging in. Jenna, yeah, it has been a journey. Jenna is recovering from food poisoning. How are we feeling?
Well, I just want to add, I got food poisoning the same day I got my period. Like, day one period, 8 hours later, food poisoning. Like, that's
Is there a worse combination of things?
I don't think so. It's been brutal, but I'm feeling better today. Kyle was like, well, maybe a lot. Not that he thinks I need to lose weight. This is going to come off so wrong. Maybe I should. He was like, you're so desperate to lose weight. Maybe you're going to lose a couple extra pounds before New York on Friday.
What is that statement? Like, okay. What is that one? I think I just watched The Devil Wears Prada. Me and my husband have been watching like old movies on Friday nights. We just watched The Devil Wears Prada. And old movies, that's an old movie, Jesus God. And this, they say, like, it's a classic. And the line was, I'm one stomach virus away from my goal weight. And I just feel like we all feel that. So yeah. Cheers to
and
that.
Let me be clear, Kyle does not think that. He just is like always hearing me.
For sure.
You know, talk about it.
It was a moment of support, not of.
Yeah. He was like, you know, the silver lining in all of this as I'm like, vomiting everywhere.
Oh, it's not. Yeah, I'm blessed to have never had food poisoning. Just lucky.
I just would say knock on wood.
I knocked on, yeah, on all of it. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better. And happy to have you back. What are we talking about this week?
Not a ton of pop culture, but there is some Bravo to obviously get into. I think I'm more excited to talk about Summer House than I am Reunion Part 1, because I don't know why Bravo keeps insisting that we need three-part reunions for everything, but I just think we do.
Yeah.
If it was just a little too long for two parts, then just like an hour and 10 minutes on each part one and part two to do an entire, and it feels like they all save the best for the last. And so then it's like, it feels like this game of just dragging us on. Like,
last night was a dud, except for the last 30 seconds. I'd say last night was a dud, but we'll get into it. One, we were talking a little bit about pop culture. Obviously, the Eras Tours kicked off again in Europe. Actually, my husband's cousin went in Paris. For some reason, I'm on Swift Talk. Somehow it's in my algorithm. And watching these gals, there were a lot of American girls. Actually, now that I'm wondering, I wonder if they're like studying abroad because they look very young. And
I saw something about this online saying like, oh, it's just cheaper to go see Taylor in Paris than it is
makes
in
sense
the States.
Yeah, I think they spent like $300 a ticket, which compared to what we've seen prices at isn't that bad. But I watched this girl who had VIP floor seats. She got there at 7:15 in the morning to line up and was in the second row. Or like right be, and so she was in the second row of general admission floor seats or VIP admission floor seats.
Then what's the point of VIP if you still have to get there at 7:15 a.m.?
You get to be in the floor. There's like a VIP section.
But it's so the ticket already says VIP.
Because there weren't seats. It was like floor. You're just there. And it was crazy. So she did that till 7 p.m. And it's like her going through the lines, sitting down. And then once they finally got their seats, then they sat down more. It was kind of crazy, just the devotion. I don't think I'm also too old to care about anything that much that I would even be. I'm like, when are you going to the bathroom? What are you eating? Are you hungry? Are you hydrated?
All the logistics.
Is your phone charged? What's happening? Yeah. Anyway, that was interesting to see. We had talked a little bit. We saw there were some videos of Bradley Cooper and Gigi Hadid dancing around. Did you see that TikTok where someone said, like, wasn't expecting Bradley Cooper to dance like this?
I know. I saw that. That's really funny.
And he was like, huh. Yeah, I know. It kind of gave me a little bit of the ick, but he still is our Philly guy, so we won't talk shit. Anything else in pop culture news? What else is happening?
No, not really. I don't think, at least. I mean, there was some stuff that came out about, like, did Kim call Netflix and basically be like, better edit this out?
That's interesting.
I bet there's a little bit of truth to that. It turns, I guess, all the people that did the roasting, no one knew that she was going to be there, which I found interesting. She was, like, not, because the way I saw those was Dave Portnoy, who is like, harbors a lot of hate for Kim Kardashian. I'm not really sure what that's about. Like, I know that I'm not as into them and her as I once was, but like, he has like hate for her.
Yeah, and it's
really weird. It's kind of weird.
It definitely is weird, and the way that he talks about her as a woman, I just find a little. And it's so funny, like. Yeah, and I was thinking, like, we had this take last week about the Kardashians and how we're kind of over it, and it made me giggle, because when I watched back that video that was posted of our social media, the person who does our social media, shout out Dan, I was watching that video back and I was cracking up, because I was like, the one thing we forgot to mention is we're saying all of this, and yet we both know that me and you will be watching every episode. 100%. 100%. Without a doubt. We're going to be watching every episode. We're going to talk about it on here. We are who we are. We're going to watch every episode. And what are we talking about? Yeah, what are we talking about? Guys, we might be a little slow today.
Both on the mend, you know?
We're both on the mend. I got my period
week. Amy's in a mood today, so yeah.
Yeah, I got my period this week. I was telling Jenna that, like, I got off the pill, and this is the first time I'm, like, really feeling PMS symptoms. And, like, my anxiety has been through the roof, and I just feel like the biggest grumpy grump. And see you next Tuesday, and I feel like I could... I was just on the phone with my husband asking him to set something up with my computer, and I was like, all right, I gotta go. And he's like, what's your problem? Or no, that's not what happened. He said, what's your problem? Right. He's like, what's your problem? And I was like, nothing, I gotta go. I'm 12 minutes late.
Oh my God, this is gonna be so loud on the episode. I'm
gonna
have to cut that.
Anywho, what's going on in Bravo world? Oh, I love this.
Okay, I think we should give a very special shout out to all the people out there who are also down with a drug dealer, because the feedback on both TikTok and Instagram was like amazing. It was just like, yeah, we're so here for this. Or like, I see you, girl, or girl after our own heart. Like, it was very pro drug dealer. And it was just like so funny. And it was just, I was not expecting that take to get positive feedback.
But I also think, so then Rachel comes on, Rachel Fuda goes into confessional, and she says, mind you, we didn't know what kind of drug dealer John Fuda was, but she comes in her confessional and goes, yeah, John Fuda used to sell weed.
Like,
back in the day. So he was selling dime bags to kids in New Jersey, and we're supposed to be up in arms, Teresa. Oh my God. You went to prison, Teresa. Like, you didn't go to jail. You went to prison. You were indicted on a crime, and you're trying to throw this man under the bus for like selling a few dime bags. Like,
yeah.
Give me a break. I couldn't even take it. They're setting the season up. It's going to be spicy. It's going to be spicy.
Is it going to be too spicy for me is what I'm hearing?
I think so.
Like, I'm a little worried about.
I can't.
Because I, just like this past week, I did it for the first episode. Like, I waited till the last minute. And I waited till the last minute again. I just, these ladies get me a little, like, anxious. I just, like, know it's going to be so much yelling, and I don't like it.
Did people not yell in your house growing up? Like, was it just, like, kumbaya?
Yeah, my mom's Italian. What are you talking
That's
about?
That's why I'm so confused.
Probably why I'm afraid of it.
Oh. I just, like, don't know how else to communicate. I don't know what you're talking about.
Someone at work, when one of the guys I work for at one of the bars was, he was like, did you like get in trouble once when you were four and you were like, that's it? Like, I'm done with this because I'm so anxious and like so want to like make sure everything is perfect at work and show, like, I take everything like when it comes to work stuff so freaking seriously that it's, I think sometimes the people I work for or with are kind of like, if you could just like kick back a little bit, like it is just a bar.
It's so wild because I do want to get to like that. We've never like really dug deep into that point of your issues on why you don't like yelling, especially like I grew up in a yelling household and I just picked it up. Obviously my husband, not so much. So I've had to retrain myself and it's very hard. It's very hard. Very hard.
It's like my mom didn't necessarily stay mad for long, but like when she would yell, it was scary. And I was like, yeah. I just don't need this in my life. And my brother would go back. Well, we're getting off topic, so.
We were just getting to the good stuff. I think this is also why a lot of East Coasters, I mean, really relate to the Jersey stuff. The shouting and the going back and forth is interesting. I feel like with Melissa and Teresa being on opposite sides of things, we're not going to see that yelling, which I'm kind of thankful for because we were just beating a dead horse. Nothing was changing.
Nothing.
It doesn't matter. I think what we're setting up in this season is you see Jen Fessler starting to have a conversation with Teresa before they cut. You see the produced party of Danielle's husband who had a brain aneurysm, I think. And they're having like one of these produced parties where it's like, oh, let's have a party for it. Where you're like, you would never any other day have a party for something
especially,
like this. But
I think it's like 7 years too, which is like such a random.
Yeah.
But it's not like cancer where it's like the 5 year mark, like, yeah, is like, you know, obviously a big celebration, but
doesn't, yeah, it always gives me such the Jersey Shore feels whenever they shoot this in the summer. I can't imagine what it feels like for you being so far away from the Jersey Shore.
It feels awful. Do you know the last time I was down the shore?
When?
It was before I moved. So that means I had gone down the shore every single year of my life from the time I was born until I was like 25 years old, and then not since. Like, there was not a summer that we did not spend at least 2 weeks on the shore.
Wow.
Like, literally, like, in the womb, like, my entire life was down the shore in the summer, and now just not at all.
That's crazy. And it's not like, but I think people don't understand about the shore is it's not like going to the beach. Like, there's a culture around it. Like, my husband does not get it. He's from Belgium. They go to the beach and they like go to a restaurant or sit in jeans and sweaters because it only gets to like 55 or 60. Yeah. And like, they'll go there and like have dinner. And I'm like, you don't get it. Like, there's such a culture of a whole day at the beach where you bring your cooler, you meet your friends down there, you're drinking on the beach, you're getting pizza delivered to the beach, you have your
the in between time of getting home from the beach.
It's my favorite time.
Yeah, then there's like that sort of like lapse where people are like kind of lounging around or you're kind of just like doing whatever, and then it's like the get ready part, and then you're going out for the night. It's such a thing that you can't even describe to someone
that is done it. Like, that's my favorite time. Like, my head literally meant the in between. You come off the beach, you're buzzed, you go back to the house, you're like eating, getting dressed, figuring out what you're gonna do for the night. Like, that, it's so indescribable and people won't ever get that. Speaking of, my one of my really good friends just signed on her closing today for her shore house. So I feel like because she got one that we all got one. But I was saying, I know. I know. And like, so her daughter's 2 years old. And I'm like, your kid is going to grow up with a shore house. And she said, Aunt Amy, you're coming to my shore house. This is Aunt Amy and Miki's room. And it's like, they're living the Philly dream. How cute.
Wow.
Anywho, we digress.
We do.
I think we'll have more to talk about in New Jersey in the next few weeks.
I'm just so ready to talk about Summer House because I have like so many thoughts.
Okay.
Too many. Do you want me to start?
I have so many thoughts with your thoughts. I can't. I also have. I rewatched it again today just to see.
Okay. So open with Carl and Lindsay talking about, like, Carl basically like letting her know the conversation he had with his parents.
Yeah.
The weekend at the Jersey Shore, I should add. And
love the beach.
All roads lead. Yeah, and I feel like I'm not always. I mean, we've talked about it so many times, and throughout this whole episode, I found myself almost being Team Lindsay. I know that we've been saying, like, there are no teams because this is, like, not so black and white. These are just two people not meant to be with each other, and that's true. But this episode, we'll get into the conversation in the kitchen, but just, I guess, like, what were some of your thoughts on, like, this conversation? And then, like, before we get into the conversation about the kitchen, I do want to touch on the girls coming together after this dinner.
I feel like, okay, I like this. I saw this TikTok from this therapist who was talking about Lindsay and Carl's toxic communication style and how the way that they just communicate overall is, it's just not healthy. Carl's afraid to say what he wants. Lindsay constantly gets on the defense. She calls him angry, even though he's not being angry. He's just trying to express himself. So it's this constant, like, back and forth, which kind of lends itself to what we're seeing. Like, one week we're Team Carl, one week we're Team Lindsay. And all we're really saying is, like we said before, like, yeah, they shouldn't be together. This episode, 100% Team Lindsay. But if you look at the overarching picture, they're just not. It's like they're speaking two different languages.
Yeah,
they don't know how to talk to each other.
I know, it makes you wonder how they got through the first 6 months, 1 year of being together. I mean, I know there's the honeymoon phase, but...
Well, you also realize that Lindsay wasn't drinking for part of that.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Lindsay wasn't drinking.
That's how they got through the first 6 months. Although, she wasn't really drunk for either of these conversations in this episode.
No, but I think there's something that we see with Lindsay in almost all of her relationships that play out on TV is, like, in the beginning, she plays this part of, like, the good wife. Like, I'm the good wife. I'm the good girlfriend. I make you sandwiches. I do all the right things. And, like, she does all of the right things. And then once she starts not being hurt, but letting her walls down and saying what she needs from other people, I think is where sometimes she's not getting fulfilled, which is another issue.
And I think that probably plays into, I would assume, like, I mean, maybe she wants to do it in the beginning, like, all of, you know, the making sandwiches and playing housewife or whatever. But her desire for that,
100%,
like, takes over so strongly that she 100%. Cannot. Like, I need to catch him.
She doesn't know what else, like, she doesn't know how else to act.
Yeah, and it's like she's convinced herself that that's what men want, where it's like, maybe if she just leaned into more of herself early on, she would attract someone that could handle someone like her.
Right.
And, like, there are certainly men out there.
There's a person for everyone. I mean, in my... Exactly. And apparently maybe she's found one, according to the gossip we got a few weeks ago. I know, me neither. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, is my gossip wrong after all this? It would be that would be so upsetting.
Well, from this conversation, we do get a few of these moments, not just this episode, but this season, of these girls really coming together. And it's like the four, I think it's like Sierra, Amanda, Paige, and Lindsay are just, like, kind of debriefing the conversation she had with Carl. And it's, like, really nice. I really like seeing Paige and Lindsay vibe.
It's not, I feel like it's something that we never would have seen in previous seasons ever.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like Lindsay, after Lindsay's lost her friendship with Danielle, it's almost like it's humbled her in a way. because she, otherwise she would just go with Danielle, do whatever Danielle was doing. They could go off and be their own giggly squad. Oh God, I shouldn't even say that. But you know what I mean? Like, she had her person. She didn't need to worry about anyone. And now, once losing that friendship, it's like she needs some of the other girls. But it's been great to see. It's really changed this entire season. From the ratings, what I saw is this has been the most watched season. And again, we cannot not talk about the addition of Jesse and Wes being the best additions. They're so good. I don't know what it is. They're so down to earth. These TikToks that are going around, there was a TikTok that came out. I think it was Jesse's TikTok from Amanda and him on the tarot card reading night, where they're like goofing off, but kind of like cuddling each other, might you say?
And the comment, like, I think they totally are just like leaning all the way in right now, because the comments don't stop coming.
No, on like other posts, on other posts, they're just, I can't.
I do think that they're trolling us.
100%.
I'm still here for it.
And I kind of like it. Oh my gosh. It's,
I know.
So
I like it too.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Well, then that, actually, real quick, I do want to just check. Did you catch the Sierra dropping the boyfriend comment about Wes?
Oh, at the pool when they kissed and wait, that was the next day.
So, okay. But yeah, so like they have the dinner, the girls are vibing. They kind of cut to like the next day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The
breakfast. And then,
and Sierra apologizing to Jesse, and they kiss and make up.
Oh, yeah. They kiss and make up. But he said, yeah, she says boyfriend, and it kind of made me cringe. I was like, I don't know if you can call someone you're not sleeping with your boyfriend.
But the way they act, though, is so boyfriend and girlfriend. I also, this is another storyline I'm kind of over. Of the, like, will they or won't they have sex? Will they or won't they be boyfriend? It wasn't that, I don't know. It didn't really do anything for me. I thought if Paige was there, she would have made a bigger deal about it. Also, Danielle being like, oh my God, you said boyfriend. Like, shut up.
Well, I don't know if this was on just, no, because that's the only way I watch it. I just didn't catch it the first watch. But there's a scene of Paige and Amanda
in the bathroom.
Just Paige and Amanda, in the bathroom, and they kind of talk about it. And Paige makes some kind of comment, and I was like, I felt like she was feeling how I was feeling, like, oh boy, like, yikes.
Yeah, I feel like Sierra gives me the vibes. Like, if you saw how she was with Austin, like, if she's going in, she's gonna go in. Like, if she's spending time with someone, she's gonna give them 100%. I don't think she just like fucks around with people casually.
I don't think so either, but don't you think she should have that conversation with Wes before?
But do we know that they did? Do we know that they did or didn't? Because he didn't say, because then Jesse called Sierra Wes's girlfriend, and it's not like Wes was like, oh my God, she's not my girlfriend.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's a mystery.
You know who I want to be boyfriend and girlfriend? I want Amanda and Jesse to be boyfriend and girlfriend.
I know you do.
I do.
Well, you know what? Okay, let's get into Amanda and Kyle, because...
Wait. We can't miss over. We're skipping the entire kitchen argument with Lindsay and Carl.
Oh, yes, that's right. That's
how could we even...
I'm so eager to get to this Amanda and Kyle thing. I was, so up in arms about this.
But also the Lindsay and Carl conversation, I don't think it's anything different than what we've already said. Like, they don't communicate. They're not on the same page. If you definitely... This conversation in the kitchen will absolutely have you on Lindsay's side, because if you're, I feel like any woman is like, I am just trying to have your back. I think the biggest thing that was a red flag to me is red flag to Carl is she's saying, you complained about working for Loverboy for the last 4 months. You said like, oh, I've just been trying to decompress, not working there. You know, it was like not a toxic work environment, but it was just so much. I was so involved, blah, blah, blah. So now Lindsay's not allowed to ask you questions if you choose to want to do something different or the same, or if you choose to go back there. Like, that's what your wife is supposed to do, your partner. How do you expect her not to challenge things?
Well, the thing that I took away from that conversation as well is I actually didn't think Lindsay was getting heated at all.
No!
We've seen Lindsay heated. This was not it. She was asking real questions that needed to be asked, that any partner would 100%. Be asking. Not even, honestly, not even just partner. I would think even like a friend. Like if I bitched about a job incessantly to you and then, you know, some time had passed and I was like, oh, I think I'm going to go back, I would assume that you would have some questions for me.
And I could not agree more. And then he basically says, she's like, you don't want me to play devil's advocate. You just want me to go and be your cheerleader. And he's like, yeah, I do. What are That's you crazy. Talking about? That is crazy. Not to mention the, I don't know if you saw this, but the entire time they had Lindsay's nipple blurred out.
I know.
So this is so unfair. And then Lindsay runs off and cries. And then you see more of these like awkward interactions where they're walking by each other in the bathroom. And then they have a whole day out together where they're not speaking to each other. It's just...
Can you imagine like not speaking to your partner all day in front of a group of people while on film?
That is no. So no, I would... No. And that's another even, form of just...
Maybe one other couple I could get a little like heated in the moment at towards Kyle and not think much of it, like because it'll blow over soon and we spend so much time with them. But like that's about it.
I remember one time I ignored my husband for like 4 hours in front of his sister. It was very difficult. And it didn't fly. But anyway, I think we're all just saying the same thing, that like the devil's advocate. Okay, let's talk about the boat.
Let's talk about the boat.
What do you think, before we talk about Amanda and I'm sorry. Don't be mad. What do you think about Paige? Obviously, again, producing, but Paige talking to West about Sierra in this moment. Like, if you don't, I don't think any of us were surprised because they built this up. This scene was in the preview for the summer, like they built this up. Like West was going to say something groundbreaking. And I don't think any of us thought for 1 second that West was going to be like, oh, I'm sleeping with other people. But what do you think about him texting with other, like flirty texting with other folks? And
you know, I feel like if he's, I don't know, I feel like that's why I don't think him and Sierra have really labeled themselves anything. So that's why I was like kind of so caught off guard by when she dropped the boyfriend, as if it was like whatever. And Wes is in his confessional after that conversation and says, like, I don't really know that I owe Paige all of that. And, you know, we stand Paige, but, like, I don't think that. And I think, I don't know that I would like my, I know that I wouldn't. I don't need my friends going up to the guy that I'm talking to and, like, doing that whole thing. It feels very
childish.
Feels a little high school.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just, I would be almost afraid that that guy would then be like, I don't know if I feel like getting into all of this. Like, this feels like a lot. Like, not only do we have the show, like, happening, but, like, the friend, like, it just adds another layer of pressure when a friend is saying, like, I know girls say that, but, like, I really will. It's like, he don't need all that. Like, you're actually making this worse for Sierra.
And that, I would feel so embarrassed if somebody ever did that for me.
Really embarrassed.
Because don't worry, like, you won't need to kill anyone. I can do it myself. Like, I'm good. 100%. I'm so good. Yeah. And if I was Sierra, like, I get it. Paige was sticking up for her. I get it. I know, but it did feel a little young in that. I also liked
thinking maybe she also had quite a few cocktails in the sun that day. So she was just like, you know.
We love a cocktail on the sun. Another thing that is just so enjoyable, a boat day on the water. All of these summer things I can't wait to do. I thought that that scene, I appreciated West just like sticking up for himself. It gave me a tingle in my gringle. I was thinking if we ever got the opportunity to make merch, that should be our merch.
We'll chat off air. I'm just going to veto this idea before it even comes to the drawing board.
Let's get into the... Kyle and Amanda.
I'm jumping right in.
You jump in. Jump in. Dive in like one of those dolphin things.
So you have always been very, like, have seen the red flags with Kyle and Amanda in a way that I don't know that I have seen them so crystal clear. Like, I think I've convinced myself that, like, maybe they're fine behind the scenes or that they come to some sort of compromise and agreement that we're not seeing on TV and that we're only, I don't know, whatever the reason, I was not ready to, like, be like, they need to get divorced or whatever. This was the most alarming thing that I've seen from almost any relationship, I swear to God, on Bravo. Like, the way that he did not, his reaction when she said that she wants to find something for herself and the way he turned that around, I was, like, dumbfounded. I couldn't believe he was reacting like this.
Okay, I hear you. And I'm also shocked that you can't believe that Kyle Cook was reacting in a selfish way about something. It's always about Kyle. Everything in their life is about Kyle. Of course he's going to react this way because it's the Kyle show. All he heard in that conversation was, you're going to screw up my business. This is about my business, my job. Come work for me. You're mine. Like, you're my commodity. This is what her friends see and why her friends are always like, do you have an identity outside of that? Because he is constantly, he's just so self-centered that he didn't even hear the words that, like, I'm having an issue with my own identity. He didn't hear her say that. He heard, you're going to take away from my business. I'm stressed about my business and you're going to put more stress on me. He didn't hear her actual problem. And it's one of the reasons why I think that it's such, like, working with your spouse, and she did this before they were even married. So many things are so intermingled that it's true. She doesn't have an identity. And even if she's trying to start the conversation to get out of that, it's nearly impossible. He's not even giving her an ounce. It's like a form of, it almost feels like a little bit of a form of control. And I hate to say that.
Yeah, I guess it's like, I've known Kyle was, you know, that it's been like the Kyle show. Yeah. I guess I just was not ready for Amanda. And Amanda has for so many seasons taken the, and she said it, like, the passenger princess sort of seat. Yeah. I guess I was hoping or thought that he would almost be proud of Amanda for coming to him and, like, speaking her truth and, like, where she was at. And for him, and I feel like it took her a long time to get to that point. And for him to just shut it down was really jarring to watch. And maybe part of it is that I just cannot for one second picture myself in a similar situation to that.
But I think
just no way.
I think that's first. I think because you have a partner who supports you wholeheartedly, is your biggest cheerleader, that watching someone on TV who's, he wouldn't even let her get the words out.
I know.
He wouldn't even let her finish her sentence about what she's even thinking. All the girls over here are like, where's Amanda's bathing suit line? We want to buy it. We're ready. Like, the fact that she even talked about it, like, Kyle, you want to make money with this woman? Like, where's your business sense at? Like, he is so stressed about his own business, which is, it's also fair. Like, that's a lot.
Yeah.
It's fair at all. But, you know, to just completely dismiss her and not say, like, you know, maybe we could come up with a plan. Like, I need you. Like, he was throwing a tantrum. There's other people out there that can do design work for him. Totally. There's other people out there that, you know, you can work with, and you could work on a transition plan. You could give her options instead of, like, tying her down to you.
But the thing that's extra frustrating about this is at the end, he has this huge freak out. Like, not only was he not supportive to Amanda when she's coming to him about this, but then he continues to booze and then goes on this, like, rampage at the end of the episode and is like, well, I want to be a DJ. Well, guess who is a DJ and is supporting him? Amanda.
I just,
like,
can't.
We got him DJing before we got Amanda's clothing line or bathing suit line. Like, I'm pissed. I want a bathing suit.
I don't want
Kyle Cook DJing at any place on that ever.
But that DJ comment, But that whole comment just like goes to show he he's so far off base.
And I also feel like he doesn't see Amanda as someone who can do it on her own or that could carve her own path. And that's so sad for Amanda that she doesn't have a partner that really
can. No, he doesn't.
Hell yeah. Like, I think you could do this. Like, your style is so good. You give like effortlessly cool girl all the time.
He doesn't value her.
Yes. And that is so frustrating.
And that's
because she's so great.
And that's the thing. Amanda needs someone, because she might have a little bit of insecurities. Amanda needs someone to show her value, to hype her up the way Paige and Sierra were doing in Old Navy and Herald Square. And it's just, that's to me one of the other reasons why I feel like we're starting to see Amanda come into her own in her 30s. And I really hope for her, before she has children with this man, that she really thinks about what she wants for her future, because it's not going to get better once kids are in the picture.
Meanwhile, we got Jesse Solomon hyping her up on all over the goddamn place.
Hyping her up.
We got a guy for you, Amanda.
And before we move on from Summer House, I have to say, the moment in the car with Jesse Solomon and West, why are there not cameras in these cars? You said it, and now they're all coming back. They're all spicy. It's all fun. Jesse talks about how he's worried about his upcoming scan because he found a lump in his testicle, and he's almost 5 months out. And him and West have this moment, and all you can hear is their words, but Jesse gets upset. And West is like, come here, buddy, give me a hug. Come here, buddy, give me a hug. And to see this man love, it just warms my heart. They're such good additions. And I hope more men you see this, and I just hope that more men's friendships are like this, and that they're all hugging each other and crying in front of each other and being vulnerable. I just thought it was such a beautiful moment.
When it's something as serious as cancer, like that,
yeah,
no one should have to hold that, held tears back about that from their friends.
No,
that's such a serious situation. What are you laughing about?
Because I'm psychotic.
You are psychotic. I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, but when Amy told me she had cancer, I said, "Oh God, thank God you're not pregnant."
But then, like, we laughed. I can't stop laughing because you're like, yeah, I hope everybody talks about cancer. But, like, the Italian in us.
Is it even the Italian? I don't even know what it is.
Like, we started laughing about it. I can't tell you how many people I giggled about with it. Because, like, sometimes it's just what you have to do to get through it. Anywho, I hope Jesse is... I hope he's doing well. I love their friendship. They seem so sweet together. Jesse Solomon is like slowly creeping up. Like, I remember it was like West or Jesse in the beginning. And now I'm just like, you guys are both in my races.
Yeah. Agreed. 100%.
I was thinking
that during this episode. I think him being so vulnerable.
I know.
About the big C has just made him so much more attractive. And I feel like when they introduced us to him that first like episode, first two episodes, he was like giving such D-bag energy. Mm-hmm. And I just I'm not feeling that at all. Like, yeah, he fucks around with a lot of girls, but like, whatever. Like,
we all were at that age. Yeah. Like, if you didn't hook up on a weekend, like, what were you doing? What were you doing? You had food poisoning.
Yeah, the end of the episode ends with Carl and Danielle.
This is actually the beginning of a new episode because I didn't know what you were... Okay.
But it did end with them, like, there's a part where Danielle's like, no, I get it. And so then if you would have let me finish, by the way, then we see the first 6 minutes of the next episode, if anyone follows any of that stuff on Instagram. But... it's Danielle taking, and we'll talk about this more next week, obviously, but it looks like Danielle is about to ride real hard for Kyle and being like, as a CEO and founder,
No, please, like, don't say that.
Sheena's book.
You know, they have you seen this week how there's been all this old footage of Sheena coming out that's like, fuck being a girl's girl. I'm a guy's girl. And it's like, girl, you know, the only people that are guys' girls are the ones that are having sex with them and like doing things behind their friends' backs. So is that what you are? Okay.
Also, that's like not a great, like,
good look.
I feel like there's nothing better than a girl's girl.
And to sit there on television and be like, I'm not a girl's girl. I'm a guy's girl. Well,
that's a perfect segue into it is. CPR part one reunion.
Reunion part one of three. Yes. I agree. Why are we doing this for three parts? Like, I get it for Scandoval. Even that, Scandoval was just yelling for three parts. But what from this season really warranted a three-part reunion?
I don't know, but I've been thinking about this kind of a lot. Probably, like, I wanted to bring it up on the podcast last week, and I totally forgot. Because if I don't make an actual note about something, then I'll just forget it.
Okay.
But the way that they've relied so heavily on Ariana for this season and this series, that does not look good for them. Like, that means that you had so little of a storyline that you were putting all of your eggs in someone else's basket to dictate the future of the show.
Which is so funny because Lala literally said, what was your storyline before this? Well, Lala, if this didn't happen, do you think you would have a season this year? If Scandoval didn't happen, what would this season be?
I think it would have been done by now. Because they had said, like, Alex Baskin, one of the producers, was in an interview that said, like, the show was going to end.
And then Scandoval happened. No kidding. And what would you have talked about? You would have talked about Lala picking a sperm donor. Sheena having...
This is my point.
Right.
There wouldn't have been this.
And I think it's funny that Lala has a lot to say about not bringing it this season. And, oh, if people don't do this, I don't have a job. And this is how I make my money.
You can't do that to someone. You can't put all of that in someone else's hands.
No, like, I think they're
storyline, and you won't be so concerned with what Ariana is bringing to the table this season.
But I feel like after last night, the thing that I realized, and it's not that we don't realize these things happen because of the different wall breaks that we've been seeing in all the shows. I feel like we know that before any reality show, people are having sit downs, people are having phone calls. Are you going to talk about this on camera? Are you going to talk about that on camera? And it kind of ruins it for you. It ruins kind of the experience, but you know that it's happening. And for Lala to call it out, it's just, I think it made me think, like, how many of these seasons have been plotted out beforehand? Like, what else has been plotted out beforehand? What other information has been like, okay, we're going to drop this, we're going to drop that bomb, et cetera, every season? I think, like, Scandoval was the perfect storm of out of producer's control. It's the first time in reality in so long that something was out of producer's control. And I think before that, the other thing that we could think about would be Teresa going to jail and being arrested.
Yeah, definitely. I think this might be the first time in VPR history that they've broken the fourth wall.
Yeah.
I don't quote me on that, but I think
maybe also with some of the Randall stuff too.
Did they?
Maybe because of the cheating.
Yeah.
Maybe. Possibly.
But we had talked about this on a previous episode that we recorded about how we for sure think that, like, Katie probably had some frustrations with Ariana with the whole, so, like, I guess to set it up a little bit, if you haven't watched the reunion, Lala basically calls out Katie for saying that they had a phone call and that Katie had done some bitching and moaning to Katie, and maybe probably not Sheena, but I'm sure Lala told Sheena about stuff with, like, the sandwich shop and some rent and stuff like that, and not knowing about the Chicago run. And you and I had come on here and said, like, yeah, of course she's probably, like, does she need to air that all out on camera? Probably not. And like, would it be bad for the sandwich shop? Absolutely. But I think that like they were in the moment frustrations that she didn't, that Katie is who I mean when I say she, like it, that Katie didn't need to air out all season. I think it was like her just talking to a friend. And I think anyone that has started a business and has, you know, done things with a friend, like there are moments of frustration and like you get them out and then like you kind of move on.
And I think the other thing is that was really interesting to me last night was it comes together for us, right? Like the picture's painted. Lala is saying she got onto a call with a producer and Katie. And Lala said, Katie, remember that conversation we had? Are you going to talk about it on the show? And Katie's probably like, what the hell, Lala? No, I don't want to talk about that on the show. You're one of my really good friends. I said that to you in confidence. I don't want to bring that up on the show and make it messy. Like, I don't, it doesn't, like, I've moved past it. Me and Ariana have moved past it. Things have smoothed over. And Lala's saying, well, why can't you be real? This is what we've done on the show all these years. We've been real. Let's not kid ourselves that being real on reality TV, like what we're seeing, we all know is probably 50% of real life. So not everybody's bringing their 100%. And Lala, of everyone, should know. Her kid isn't allowed to be shown on TV. She didn't talk about Randall for years and years. Like, it's not all real. So
and I
you're setting up scenes.
And I would actually say if we did have to choose someone that was consistent and authentic throughout the show, it kind of was Katie. Like she
and
was
Ariana.
A miserable bitch for I love Ariana, but I do think that she and Tom hid their entire relationship.
Okay.
I think
if Ariana hid stuff, it was only because Tom had told her to hide it.
I think I think they chose that together. They had a brand and that was what they collectively decided was best for them and the brand. But I do think Katie has been the most authentic through the entire run of the show, has been labeled the most miserable of the show, still didn't change her tune. Season after season was always the one that was like a bitch, the resting bitch face comments, like all the time. She never changed about like, and finally in season 11, she still is the same person. It's just like all of our perspective on our perspectives on everyone else have shifted that now this version, this Katie.
And I think it's interesting that Lala saying that you abandoned me because you didn't follow my plan. You abandoned me. And Lala says, you talked about my custody battle. By saying like, drop your lawyers after, like the way that I took that, you started a whole campaign about lawyers, call my lawyer.
Yeah.
Like, Lala wants to play the victim so hard here. If you're talking about her kid or if you say she can use anything about like if it's her kid, you're weaponizing her. If you say anything, no one is talking about your child. No one's talking about your lawyers or your custody battle. Like, no, it's just maybe somebody's calling you a clown because you've been acting like one.
Yeah, and totally.
I just feel like the way that she uses her kid to her advantage to get out of arguments is so done. It's so beat. I'm so over it. Think of something else. It can't keep getting you out of arguments. When I watched that scene back when they were all there for the wine night and Katie's calling her out, the second Katie called her out, like, say what you want to say. Don't talk to me like that. Don't talk to me that. Step back. But you didn't make your point. What are you trying to say? You just talk big, but you don't have any points to make behind it.
I think Katie's right. I think Lala is a clown.
I do too. After this season, I just think Lala didn't like that someone didn't go along with her plan. And then there you hear Sheena chiming in. Oh, you didn't tell the truth about Ariana behind her back. Like, Sheena, you were chomping at the bit to get that one off your chest.
And I think that is shitty in so many ways because it's like, yes, they film a show together, but some real friendships are formed outside of the show. And I think Katie genuinely thought that, like, when she was talking to Lala, she was confiding in a friend, a close friend. 100%. And I know that there's no way that Katie is the only person on the show to have done that with a friend and it not have to come to air. I'm sure that Lala has gone to Sheena about other things in her life that, you know, she has asked that her and Sheena have agreed to not bring to air. But it's like, well, that's shitty because now can you not have a real friend on the show, like that you can kick it with when you're not filming and air a little grievance and like not expect a three-way phone call from a producer a few months down the line or weeks down the line being like, ready to have that chat again? It's like, no, I'm out of that space now. So don't try and bring me back into the space because you want to make this a whole storyline.
But then, Lala's hiding behind that, saying that people aren't doing their job because they're not bringing the dirt. Like, Lala, what do you bring into the table?
Literally nothing.
What are you bringing to the table? So if Katie wouldn't bring dirt on Ariana, what would you bring to the table?
That's the thing, is like, Lala is so relying on everyone else to help sort of like help create a storyline, and not every, like, Katie and Ariana were not down for it. And so she's like, well, you just ruined the entire show.
Right.
Well, like, the fact that you're going back to what I said in the beginning, it's like, if you're so relying on these two people who are bringing nothing to the show, it tells me that maybe they're bringing everything to the show.
And then at the end of that, to then say, oh, well, you know what I wanted to say about something about her? It's nothing about her. And I have an actual business to run to support me and my daughter. Lala thinks everything she does is so much more important because she has a child involved. She uses it as every excuse to make everything in her life so much more important. And don't get me wrong, it is. But then to down your friends.
What I find so frustrating about the child part of it all is, like, I understand children are obviously important, but like, I don't think mothers are any more important than, say, you and I, because we don't have children. And also, like, I don't know that Katie was even able to get pregnant. And like, I know that she had talked about wanting a family before. It was never happening. Her and Tom were trying. So to be constantly throwing that. And again, like, I don't know for sure if that's the case with Katie. But like, what if it was? And now you're throwing this in someone's face that can't even produce a child. Like, that's not fucking chill at all.
I just think the way that Lala uses her kid to get out of every argument and then cry about it. It's like, you're not doing it just because your kid's involved. Then I had to look up, what the hell is Lala's business? What's her business? You're saying nothing about that's, it's done. It's not a thing anymore. Give them Lala Beauty is not a thing anymore. So what is your business that you're paying your kids with your podcast? Sure, great.
You know what her business is? Scandoval merch.
Exactly. So, like, stop acting. And, you know, Lala is from Utah. I don't know why she talks this game that she is some chick from wherever the hell. Like, girl, like, you've never gotten to a fight in your life. I would love to find her in a dark alley with those freaking nails. Give me a break.
The finger gun pointing drives me nuts. Then
I would rip those nails right off her fingers.
Back to, you just said, like, the nothing about her comment or whatever. That like triggered something in my brain that made me think of fucking, you know what? Lisa Vanderpump. What the hell, man? She never once tried to pit those guys against each other when it was taking them forever to open Schwartz and Sandy's. And the second she has a chance to like be like, pit those two women against each other about the sandwich shop, I was like, who are you? Like, what is going on?
You know who was in Lisa Vanderpump's ear? Sheena. You immediately saw Sheena told this story to Lisa Vanderpump that Lala told. Sheena told Lisa Vanderpump, oh, Lala told me this story about, you could just see it on, like, Sheena was looking at Lisa Vanderpump as she was telling that. And it's like, Sheena must have told Lala, or Lala must have told Sheena, oh, Katie had this conversation with me and she was really heated and disappointed. And apparently something about rent being late. And that was, Lisa's like, oh, you know, you guys having the issues with rent and stuff. why is Lisa there? Why is Lisa should not be a part of this reunion. She shouldn't be a part of the show. Half the time she's asking questions. Like, get out of here with your freaking bedazzled coats.
You know what I want?
Tell me.
I want to start asking Lisa Vanderpump some questions. Like, how are you feeling about all the comments online about you being, you know, a male sympathizer, misogynistic, like all of this stuff? Like, why isn't Andy asking LVP these questions? Because I would love to know how the fuck she feels about what she reads on the internet. Because it seems for the most part, we all agree that LVP, you can beat it. We're good. We don't need
regardless, male sympathizer or not, they're playing her into this role on the show that she's like the queen bee. And she's been gone. They set up every scene that she's out. It's also, she needs to feel that way. It makes sense why she won't go back to the Real Housewives, because she's not in control.
She's not in control, yeah.
And so she thinks she can be in control of these like younger kids. It's a joke.
And like, that's the other thing. She treats them such like children. Kids,
yeah.
They're late 30s, 40s.
Seriously, can we stop?
Can we stop this little thing that we're doing? It's weird.
It's so weird. I mean, I think this reunion episode, there wasn't much more. There was some stuff with Tom talk. I thought it was weird that Sandoval was talking shit about Rachel. I thought that was so bizarre. I thought that them even talking about Rachel without her being there felt uncomfortable.
It was a little uncomfortable.
I
guess, because that's, although I feel like we could have, I don't know.
I don't. It felt like it went on too long. The talking shit about her.
It did go on too long for sure. Did you see Katie's like statement?
Yeah, I actually posted. Night? Yeah, and I said about her. I wrote we didn't need this statement. We got you. No. Like, we're good. Yeah. We have your back.
Katie, I will say, like, she, I think, was probably the least liked person on Vanderpump Rules for an entire 10 seasons.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're all sort of, I don't know if that she was like more involved than we were watching this show the last 10, 12, how many years at this point. But like, it's like, we've all caught up.
Right.
And like, we can all see through the men bullshit that she has been seeing for so long, that it feels like after this season, because we really see Katie, it's like, we get what was happening here. It's fine. We don't need you to like make a statement about it. I mean, that's great. I'm sure it's good for like Ariana, maybe, or I don't even know.
Ariana was so stoic last night listening to this stuff that could possibly, and the fact that she said she hasn't watched the season. I love that she said she hasn't watched the season. And then Lala goes, I totally get that. I totally get that.
I was like, oh, do you?
Do you? Are you just happy?
I think Lala, or not Lala, I think Katie and Ariana had already discussed some of it.
I feel like Katie, because you could tell Katie felt put on the spot.
I think, for sure. But I think the Chicago thing was discussed. I think.
Yeah.
I think that Ariana or Katie did eventually talk to Ariana about the Chicago thing and been like, yo, a heads up would have been fucking cool, because
for sure
opening a business in LA and Chicago is a Broadway show
in New York.
So.
And she's coming back. Did you see that? Ariana's back in the month of August. Like, she's been killing it. So to be Ariana on that stage last night when Andy was going around everyone and he's like, Lala, how's the merch? How's the sandwich sup? Ariana, how's your endorsement deals? How's your this? How's your that? How's Broadway? Also, did you see the commercial, the Duracell commercial with Anne? Like, Anne's getting commercials now? I love this.
My dream to be a bartender and watch What Happens Live.
She was.
Literally, this is like a dream for me. Like, I want to manifest it. We are. But okay, so that actually, I had a thought while watching this when he was going over everything that Ariana has accomplished in 1 year. And I was just like thinking, if my ex, like, if my ex kind of got out of my shadow and got all that done in 1 year, I would be having some feelings about myself. Like, whoa, did I just like smother the shit out of this person? Like, were they like living? I know that. Hold on. Let me finish. Cause your face. I'm not saying Sandoval has okay. is like evolved enough.
Okay.
I'm talking as me.
Yeah.
Like me, Jenna, not Sandoval. If my ex went on to do all these things, was in fucking Broadway, came in third place on Dancing with the Stars, booked every goddamn endorsement you could imagine, got to be the host of her favorite reality TV show. Yeah, I would have some weird feelings about. I would have to see a therapist because I'd be like, wow, am I so self-centered that I just made myself like the star of the show so much that this person just has been living in my fucking shadow?
It's so nice how self-aware you are, because you know Sandoval is literally telling himself that all of that happened because of him.
Yeah.
You know that that's the story he's telling. He's like, all of that happened because of me. Yeah, I think it's interesting to just to see. I think also if I was on that cast, and I said this before, it's kind of impossible to not feel a little envy towards Ariana.
Yeah, when, we talked about that.
And it's fair, but the way that you still can't support your friend, the Lala and Sheena of it all, that you would try to turn on her in so many ways. They're going to show the last 5 minutes, I think, live to the group, or they're going to show that section. And I think that's the third week, the last where Lala blows up and, you know, has her little tantrum.
Yeah.
I think that's really going to hurt.
Another Lala tantrum. God, if we had a dollar.
So it's actually funny. I heard on this podcast, which is kind of an interesting segue over to the Valley, that Jack said he doesn't want anyone from Vanderpump Rules coming over to the Valley because he worked really hard to get this show going, and he doesn't want anyone from Vanderpump. It's not just an easy segue over to the Valley.
Wait, do I agree with Jack's about one thing? I think this is it. I think we found it. Great segue though, because let's get into the Valley. Not a ton here.
No.
To be honest, are Nia and Danny too good normal for this show?
They're gonna get boring unless they bring some sort of drama. Yeah.
I mean, Jack hinted at something online. Did you see this?
Jax is just like dying to keep his paycheck alive. Him and Lala should have their own show. Of like, how can we keep my paycheck alive?
What was it?
What did he say?
It was like someone comment like, this is the best, I don't know, like something nice about Nia. Is it Nia or not? Nia and Danny. And then he comments like something like, what does he say? Like, oh, is this might not age well.
What was
something
it?
Something like that. It was on Instagram. It was a compliment to Danny and Nia, like someone being like, "I love this couple so much. They're the most like normal couple." And then
Jack, he's so shady.
Like, this isn't gonna age well. So I'm like, "Ooh,
he's so shady."
But you know what? He did his fucking job, because now I'm like, "Well, what's gonna happen?"
He is so good at his job. Like the end of that of the show, I know like things happen in between, but like the end of that where he's like, "Oh." God, Michelle, I really don't want to bring this up. Michelle, I really don't want to bring this up, but let me make a margarita. they didn't hire me for my... It pains me to have this conversation. And it's all Kristen that said it. It wasn't me. I didn't say anything about you cheating or talking to other men. It was Kristen, not me. And he like pulls Michelle out to have this conversation. Like it was the hardest thing for him ever to do. And then they cut to him having this face of like... Sorry, someone had to do it. I just had to be me. He's a fucking nuts, martyr.
Yeah, he's so nuts.
Do we want to talk? There's not too much,
but I just want to talk about Jesse and Michelle. They're kind of carrying the show a little bit.
I mean, what about Brittany and Jax's drama? I don't think any of us who watch Vanderpump are surprised by it.
So, yeah, it feels so normal to me.
Yeah.
Whereas like just because we don't really know Jesse and Michelle, I guess I'm so fascinated by how little Michelle likes her husband. I mean, I know they're fine now, but like, she doesn't even try to pretend for the cameras.
She just looks like the ick. That, like, if the word ick just describes
when
her.
She says, so it's like right toward, I think like right before he goes on this trip, it's like the last scene of the last week's episode. And he's basically like, what would you want to see? And she's like, if you could, like, I would like your whole personality to change. I was like, oh God.
And then imagine. He comes
back and he's talking about like an ego death. And she's in her confessional like, that's a really big ego to kill. Like, it's so big. Is it gonna die, basically? I don't even know if that's possible.
Like, imagine telling your partner, I want your entire personality. Not like, you could be kinder. You could work on your patience. Like, I just want you to be basically an entire different person.
You could just be a different,
person. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. That yeah, but thank God.
When they're on the beach together, like, when they're, like, fake fighting.
Oh, my God.
This does not feel so fake to me. And, like, even before they start, like, kind of fake fighting, I was like, I think she wants to fucking knock him out, but whatever.
She would have.
Yeah, he's, like, being a little bit, like, annoying on the beach or whatever before this is even happening. You can see her, like, she's, like, dying inside. She's like, this is the man I married. This is the mother of my child. This is what's happening in my life right now.
I feel like she is so happy to be out of that. If he would have smacked me in my nose, did you ever get smacked in your nose? It, like,
so right after a nose job.
Oh, my God. It create, like, getting hit in the nose creates this inside rage that's unlike anything else. Like, you are like the Hulk and could kill someone. I would have hurt him.
And she already wants to kill him anyway. So
I think it's season one. We're still establishing people. This whole, like, Janet and the baby moon, whatever.
I don't like that Janet did this. So I know that she was playing it like, this is my baby moon, blah, blah, blah. No one's entitled to come. Girl, you're on an ensemble cast show. Like, if you wanted a baby moon privately with just your friend, well, then fine. Leave the cameras out of it.
Like, you can tell she is.
Like, do the baby moon for the filming. And then you do your own baby moon. And even if it's the same people, it's like, you have to. And I love, well, hold on, I'll get there, but it's an ensemble cast. And so, like, you are going to be required to film in certain scenes that, like, you maybe, or with people that you don't want to. But I will say, I was like, did you see all the rallying behind Kristen online?
No. I'm shocked.
I saw so much of it. And I was kind of like, oh, I'm interested in this. I was kind of taken aback. I wasn't, it was just, like, not on my bingo card because everyone's like, you know,
Kristen.
You know, Kristen to be so yeah, it's Kristen, but people are like, oh hell no, is Janet gonna come in here and try and ice out the queen that fucking created this whole goddamn franchise?
Whoa, that's interesting.
Like, whoa, people are like, we might not like Kristen, but you're not gonna ice her out when she's the reason you're on this fucking show.
And you know that Kristen is living in that. Kristen is loving.
Yeah.
Kristen and Jax, man, messy doesn't describe them, but I have a feeling Janet's going to give them a run for their money.
Yeah, she seems pretty messy.
Yeah. The comic relief that I did not see coming that I want to give the new queen crown to, Jasmine. Jasmine, how she puts up with these people, I'm not sure. I don't know why she's friends with them, but I'm very thankful she's there. She seems way too normal to be here. I don't know why. Maybe she'll surprise us, but I am enjoying her banter for sure. I think next week they show us, like, I think next week is the big blowout fight that leads to Brittany and Jax's separation. I think, I could be lying, but I think this, because she said there was like a big, yeah, it's the one where she like was not feeling well. And he's like, how much did she drink?
And she comes out of the room and is like, you're my husband. Don't try and make me. Okay.
I mean, talk about people that shouldn't be married. This man is, he shouldn't be anyone's husband. Like, you know, keep him on the sidelines.
Reality TV is really good for people who are
sociopaths.
Like, well, no, I was going to say, like, you watch these men on TV and you're just like looking at yours like, thank fucking God. Like, all of a make a shrine out of mine in comparison to these fools. These men should be so grateful that we are watching these shows.
I guess I have to apologize for yelling earlier about my computer.
Yeah, you
sure
fucking do. You do.
Shit. Well, we covered a lot. We do. I don't have an Instagram this week. Do you have anyone that I should? Oh, actually, I do. I have, what is the one that you told me about? I'm looking at it. Oh, no, I do. Oh, no, I said that one. Oh, no, I have a TikTok, and I'm sure you guys already follow this. Jess and Norma on TikTok. It's a grandmom and granddaughter, and it's, they're on TikTok. They're on TikTok. They're really awesome. If you have a chance, follow them. And who's the one who does all of the Bravo Leb outfits?
It's like Big Blonde.
Big Blonde something.
Big Blonde Hair, I think.
Big Blonde Hair. Yep, that's it.
Big Blonde Hair.
And
actually, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure she's friends of a... She's the reason I found out about her is because she's a friend of a friend of mine.
Oh.
So we should maybe try and work something out.
Oh, that's interesting. Also, I don't know if everyone knows this, but Jared, who was on... We've seen him in episodes of Vanderpump Rules, and we've seen him on episodes...
Oh, Jared Lips.
Yeah. Do you know who that is, right? That is Lady Gaga's dog walker. Remember Lady... The one that got shot.
What?
Yeah. I think I'm pretty sure that that is Lady Gaga's dog walker.
Okay. Anywho. I do gotta go, though.
Okay. No, it's not him at all. I made that up. I made that up. False news. I am going fake news. Anywho, if you guys don't already follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Bonded by Bravo Pod, and like and subscribe on Apple or Spotify at Bonded by Bravo. Give us a subscribe button if you don't already. And yes, we'll be back next Friday.
That's very important.
It's very important. We love you guys. We love you, friends. We'll be back next Friday with an all new episode of Bonded by Bravo.